A lot of questions, we don't have all the answers, but it's one of the greatest cover-ups of modern times and being covered up by the mass media today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jesse Trentadue. And Jesse is a lawyer in Salt Lake City in Utah. And Jesse's brother was killed in August of 1995 when he was in federal detention, and he was tortured to death in a prison in a holding, apparently a temporary holding facility for the federal government, just outside of Oklahoma City, or very close by there, in August of 1995. Now, why don't you tell the story, as you know, what happened? Why was your brother in prison?
Well, at the time, my brother had gotten out of the service during the Vietnam War as a drug addict. And he was a bank robber to support his habit. And when he was caught, he pled guilty in the 70s and went to jail and did his time. He was released in 1988. He married. He was working, paying his taxes. And he had a run-in with his probation officer who didn't like him drinking beer. And so we challenged that and fought it up through the systems and lost. And then my brother just went in and said, well, look, I work construction. I'm going to drink beer, so there's no point in me hiding that from you. And so they put out a warrant for his arrest but never bothered to come and get him. He paid his taxes. He lived and worked in San Diego. He married and had in 95, he had a two-month-old son. When suddenly he's stopped in a routine traffic stop, gathered up on alleged probation violation, which would require a hearing in front of the judge who sentenced him, who was in San Diego, would require his probation officer to testify, who was in San Diego, and San Diego is where my brother lived, but they sent him to Oklahoma City.
They flew him there. This is some sort of a temporary holding facility.
But they made no, at the time I wasn't suspicious, but now I know it's totally wrong that he should never have been going to Oklahoma City. His hearing would have been in San Diego, where he lived and where he was sentenced. That's where the judge who was in charge of him lived and presided.
Have you ever talked to the judge about this case?
No, sir.
All right, fine. So, anyway, he's taken to there. Now, this is a minor infraction. I shouldn't think that this would be very serious. Having an occasional beer, as long as... how much more time did he have on probation before he'd be completely free?
We figured that for this violation, he would have probably done 2 to 4 months if they did that at all. And given the nature of society today with people committing additional crimes, I mean, the likelihood of him going back to jail would have been almost nil.
But, okay, how much more time did he have on his original sentence? In other words,
he had about 6 years, I think, 7 years.
All right, fine. So anyway, then he's taken to this holding cell in Oklahoma at this federal facility, and we'll be back here in just a moment to tell you what happened. All right, well, our guest is Jesse Trentadue, his brother, and Jesse is a lawyer. I'm sure that when they killed his brother, they had no idea that they were going to have anybody as was as tenacious as Jesse Trentadue trying to find out what had happened. Because the government has consistently lied. It was covered up by the Reno Justice Department, which you'd expect. But it was also covered up by the Ashbrook, by the Republican Justice Department. So anyway, of course, apparently there were a lot of people who heard the screams, and they knew that they were beating your brother to death. What did they do? I've heard they brought in a SWAT team, half a dozen people, to beat him to death. What really happened, as far as you can determine from your study?
Well, now I know that he was tortured. He was tortured to get information from him. The autopsy report showed that within an hour of death, he had consumed the caffeine equivalent of 30 bottles of Coca-Cola. And caffeine is used to enhance pain under torture. I did not have a motive until recently, but now the motive is very clear, and it came from a number of sources, including Tim McVeigh.
All right, fine. Now, as far as the situation was concerned, he died in prison. They told your family that he'd hung himself, although he was in a cell where he couldn't possibly have done that. And, of course, they offered to cremate the body, and the family insisted on getting it back. Did they try to keep you from getting the body back?
Yes, sir. They went, even though we said we wanted the body home, they went to the medical examiner on their own. The government of the United States did, to try to have him cremated.
All right, fine. But apparently there was a local examiner. Now, what was he? Was he the county or the state medical examiner who came in to see what had happened?
It was the state medical examiner, and they denied him access to the cell and, in fact, cleaned the cell.
All right. But didn't he eventually get into the cell?
He did, but by then it had been cleaned, but he used a chemical called luminol, which shows blood residue even when it's been cleaned. And so, in his words, it said the cell lit up like a Christmas tree.
In other words, there was blood all over this cell, and of course, it literally beaten your brother to death. But they had to cover this up. They can't admit this sort of thing would go on in an American prison. So, tell what happened after that. So, you find out now he's been tortured. He's got stun gun marks all over him, and he's got multiple bruises. And the government has lied. So, now, can't you bring charges against the government for murder?
Only the government can charge with a crime, and if they choose not to charge, you can't do anything about it.
Well, does it mean, then, that if you work for the government, you kill somebody, that's all right?
It means that if you work for the FBI and you kill somebody, that's all right.
All right, so then you begin trying to get, under the Freedom of Information Act, the records having to deal with your brother. How did you know that somehow, in some way, this whole thing was tied into Timothy McVeigh, because you've gotten some of the most amazing documents out of the FBI, documents that were even withheld from Stephen Jones, who defended Timothy McVeigh. In fact, the government withheld all sorts of information, not because, of course, there was any question about McVeigh's guilt, but because they didn't want the American people to know about all the other things that were involved in what happened there at Oklahoma City on the 19th of April, 1995. So, basically, how did you know that there were material that you needed to have get hold of?
It took place over a period of time, sir. It took place first, and I discounted it and didn't pay attention to it. In January of 1996, I received an anonymous phone call. And the person said that my brother had been killed by the FBI. It was a case of mistaken identity, that he had fit the profile of someone in a group called a Midwest Bank Robbery Gang, who robbed banks to fund attacks against the federal government, bombings and assassinations and that type of...
So they thought your brother was part of that?
This caller said that. That it was, they were wrong, they thought he was. The caller said things got out of hand during the interrogation. And I discounted that. I thought that's ridiculous. And then in July of 96, about 6 months later, I read an article in the Los Angeles Times that said a man named Richard Lee Guthrie, a member of the Midwest Bank Robbery Gang, had been found hanging in his cell in federal custody the day apparently before he was going to give an interview to 60 Minutes. And that he was part of this Midwest Bank Robbery Gang that was at war with the United States government. And again, I didn't pay that much attention to it until years later, just before his execution, Tim McVeigh sent me word. He said, when I saw your brother's picture and heard what happened to him, I knew immediately that he had been killed by the FBI because they thought he was Richard Lee Guthrie. Now, Guthrie is a man that the FBI claims McVeigh did not know. The FBI claims that there are only two people involved in the bombing. McVeigh, now dead, and Nichols, doing life in prison. And that's all the involved. No more. No one else.
And why would the government be covering up the truth about what happened that day?
Well, I have sense, and that will get me to the next part of the story, that the FBI had an informant in with McVeigh and the Midwest Bank Robbery Gang. They knew, the FBI did, that the bombing was going to take place. Their informant, if I'm correct, was a man named Strassmeyer.
Oh, Andreas Strassmeyer.
Strassmeyer, a German national who was illegally in this country.
Of course, he was also a government agent working for the government, or one branch of a government or another, and he'd infiltrated an extremist group in Elohim City, right?
That's what these documents show, and that he, in fact, was a weapons and explosive instructor. So if he is, in fact, the informant for the FBI, then he taught McVeigh, Guthrie, and the others involved in the bombing, not only to rob banks to fund the bombing, but to actually make the bomb.
And of course, the important thing was that obviously the government knew ahead of time the bombing was going to occur. And of course, they had to conceal that. We know that from other sources. There was a woman who had working in Elohim City along with Strassmeyer and Dennis Mahan, and of course Millar, and of course almost all of them were government agents. Millar, who headed this radical extremist right-wing militia group, was a government agent. He was an FBI informant. That came out in the trial. Carol Howe's trial. Carol Howe had infiltrated the group for the risked her life to defend her country. Had infiltrated this group of really radicals that were planning on doing bombings, and of course she told the government that they were going to blow up the Murrah building, and to silence her, to keep her from being able to testify at McVeigh's trial, they indicted her as a terrorist and would have sent her to prison, even though no, she was innocent. But I have an interview with Clark Brewster, who was her attorney, who tells the incredible story of government being willing to send a patriotic young woman who risked her life for America, the prison, to cover up what, of course, so this could not come out, that the government had known ahead of time, and she couldn't testify at McVeigh's trial. So this gets pretty, there are lots of parts of this, a lot of dots, but how do we put them all together?
Well, they tried to indict me. But I think what puts it together is the description that was being circulated for John Doe 2 at the time my brother was arrested and murdered. White male, 5'8" to 5'9", powerful upper body build, history of bank robbery, believed to be in Canada or Mexico, driving a mid-1980s Chevrolet pickup, dragon tattoo left forearm. My brother comes across the border in his friend 1986 Chevrolet pickup when he stopped from Mexico. 5'9", powerful upper body build, dark hair, been a bank robber in his youth, dragon tattoo, left forearm. 2 days later, he's in Oklahoma and dead.
All right, so they think that he's part of this right-wing group, but you're not supposed to kill people that you disagree with them. You're supposed to get the evidence on them. At least we're told, you know, this is on television. We don't torture people. Well, of course, we know they're torturing people over in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and they're sending people by plane all over the world to be tortured in horrible countries that, you know, that have no sense of Christian morality. Why would our government be doing things like that?
Well, my brother was just practiced for Iraq, and they thought he was Richard Lee Guthrie, who was, I think, probably John Doe 2, and a perfect match for my brother. They even look alike.
Well, of course, then we heard, of course, that the John Doe 2 was somebody who looked like they were from of Near Eastern origin, and there was a lot of talk about John Doe 2 being somebody who had been brought into this country from Iraq after the Second World War. After the Iraqi War. How do you deal with that part of the story?
I think it was to lead people away from Elohim City and their informant.
All right. So the fact that they had known about the attack, they couldn't let the American people know that. Is that right, what you're suggesting?
I'm thinking if they had, look what would have happened. It would have cost how many people. This took place at the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice. It would have cost careers. It would have put a number of agents in prison. The fact that they are fighting me now to keep the name of the informant secret is a crime.
Name of what informant are you speaking of now? The one that they had in the bank robbing cell?
The one in Elohim City whose name is blacked out of those memos that I've been trying to...
Well, I thought that, of course, that what the... and I've seen copies of those memos. Isn't that Strassmeyer's name that they blacked out?
The name of the person that was blacked out occupies 23 letters and spaces. And it so happens that Andres Carl Strassmeyer occupies 23 letters in space.
All right, fine.
So is it him? I believe it is.
All right, fine. In fact, if we have an interview with Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who talked to Strassmeyer after he had gotten back to Germany. He was allowed to leave this country, knowing full well, of course, he was involved in the bombing. And Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who was the senior correspondent for the Sunday Times, we have a wonderful interview with him in our 4 tapes out in Oklahoma City. He talks to Strassmeyer and says, Strassmeyer, why don't you tell us what happened at Oklahoma City? And Strassmeyer replies, the American people could never hear the truth. the American people could never handle the truth. If you want to hear that interview with Strauss, with, of course, Ambrose Edson Pritchard, senior correspondent for the Sunday Times, we have it in that beautiful English accent that he has. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Jesse Tretidou and try to get more of how this whole incredible story fits together. Would they kill people in America? Would the Reno Justice Department cover it up? Of course they would. But why would the Republican Christian administration cover it up? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Jesse Trentadue, and his brother was tortured to death and killed in an Oklahoma prison. Now, you've actually talked to some of the people who were in the prison. Haven't they contacted you? They heard the screams?
The one person who came forward to testify, willing to testify, a month before we were set to go to trial, they found him hanging in his cell, supposedly.
I see. So it's very difficult. You mentioned that they had tried to indict you as well, to silence you?
Yes, sir.
How did they, what did they try to, how, under what precept?
They had an FBI informant, an operative, who swore that I had paid people to lie under oath in support of my brother's case. And this person actually failed a polygraph test, and they still put him in front of a grand jury in an effort to indict me, but the grand jury apparently refused.
All right, well, you're very, very fortunate, because they say that they can indict a ham sandwich, and once you're indicted, you got about a 98% chance of going to prison. And what is really so frightening is that we know that they will send innocent people to jail. If you doubt that, we carry a book called Dangerous Deception. It's the story of the FBI in the Northeast and how they sent an innocent man to prison for 30 years to cover up for one of the mafia thugs that they were utilizing, who was actually killed 20 people while he was under FBI protection. Dangerous Deception, incredible story, and they all knew about it. Well, anyway, if you get into this incredible story, and of course you've been able to persist in this.
It's been a difficult struggle.
All right, fine, but you're persisting in it, and you've actually been able to get a great deal of the material, haven't you?
I have, and hopefully I have a lawsuit pending now, and any day now the judge could enter a decision ordering them to turn over all of the records on Strassmeyer and the fact that the FBI knew about the bombing. They fought me tooth and nail to keep that a secret.
All right, fine, but now, of course, you've got this thing going to trial. Do you think you're going to be able to get a trial? And, of course, won't the government just feed national security or something?
I expect the worst from them. I've come to conclude that they lie when the truth would serve them better.
But after all, these are government officials. Isn't it against the law for a government official to lie?
Well, it's against the law for everyone to lie, but as I said, the FBI determines who is charged with a crime, and they will not charge their own. The Department of Justice for the United States will not charge its own with a crime.
All right, fine. Well, now, what is the basis of the trial that you're trying to get?
Well, basically, we brought a civil suit.
Because that's the only way you can do. You can't bring a criminal charge for murder. So the only thing you can do is bring a civil suit against the government and utilizing that. And then, of course, you can begin to get discovery. And didn't the government, did the FBI deny they had a lot of material that they eventually did turn over to you?
Well, they did not know that I had been leaked one of those memos. It had been redacted. And so when I asked for the memo, they came back and told the judge that there's no such documents and there's no such records.
Well, what did the judge say when you showed him the records?
Well, then I filed it with the court, and then the FBI came back and said, well, those are fake. Well, then I had an affidavit from a retired FBI agent who was out of the Washington Bureau, D.C. Bureau, who said, no, they're not fake, they're real. And then the FBI came back and said, well, we can't find them. And then I had an affidavit from this same agent, who's a retired agent, who said, oh, they're easy to find. There's a serial number on them that will tell you exactly the date and the place they're filed. So you just go to that file and retrieve them.
So did the judge take any action against the FBI for lying to him?
It is under advisement now. That's the decision I'm awaiting.
All right.
The hearing was on February 24th.
And so you're going to persist in this until you can finally get this thing settled one way or the other, and at least have the people who killed your, tortured your brother, exposed for what they did. Now, why won't the Bush administration, which is supposed to be a Christian moral administration, do differently? Why are they covering up for the Reno administration, which everybody knew was corrupt?
It's because the administrations come and go. The people who run the FBI and the Department of Justice, who really run it, remain there. It's not run at the level of the Attorney General. It is run a rung or two down on the ladder. And these are the career people, the 30 and 40 year people, who maintain the course of deception and corruption.
All right, fine. Well, you know, this is an amazing, amazing story. I've heard this, and of course we've had this discussed by our good friend Craig Roberts. We've actually seen the redacted information. We've actually talked to some of the people who were involved in this, Kirk Lyons, who of course was very close to Andreas Strassmeyer. So, you know, we're not completely foreign to so much of what is going on. But remember, if this is true, then no man's life or family or property are safe in America, and you better get involved. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down of the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anymore that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items. Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory's going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Jesse Tretido, and he is a lawyer. He is the brother of the man who was brutally murdered, and this has been covered up. Now, if you read conservative publications such as I do, I've read about this story on several occasions and talked to other people who've looked into it and, of course, have analyzed what's going on. This is a terrible thing to happen, a terrible thing, though, to think of that this would be covered up by our own government and largely covered up by the own media, although there actually has been some media coverage, hasn't there, Jesse?
Yes, sir, but the place you would think that it should be told would be Oklahoma City, and there's been nothing out of Oklahoma City.
But where was it? Los Angeles Times had some articles on it, or?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. So our telephone number, if you'd like to call, is 1-888-888-888. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. We are supposed to have a system of laws that work. Do you think they're going to be able to get the this into a trial, into a civil trial, and bring charges against the government and point out that the people who are willing to testify suddenly found hanged in their cell, just exactly as they told you your brother was hanged in the cell?
Just the way Richard Lee Guthrie was found.
Right.
We've had the trial, and the court came back so much evidence is gone. All the evidence is gone.
How do you mean all the evidence? No, what happened? Did you have a jury trial or what?
It was tried to the court.
I'm sorry, what do you mean tried to the
court? When you sue the government of the United States, you're not entitled to a jury.
I see, fine.
So you're entitled to a federal judge. And the judge found basically that there was no evidence left to sustain a homicide, but that the FBI and the government employees involved had perjured themselves.
Did they destroy all the evidence? But what about, of course, the evidence of your brother's body? Certainly, that would have been analyzed, and you'd had people to testify to that matter, couldn't you?
By the time of trial, they had terrorized and terrified everybody. So the medical examiner took the stand at trial and swore that there was no evidence of a fight or a beating.
And this was the medical examiner who initially said there was this is the medical examiner that had gone to the prison, or was this another medical examiner?
It was his office. He was the head.
Okay, and was he there, or did somebody else come?
His assistants had gone out to the scene. He did the autopsy and testified at trial.
All
before trial. He was the one that had been threatened and harassed. He'd said murder. At trial, he says suicide, no evidence of a fight or a beating.
Well, you didn't have, of course, him recorded or anything that he had written. And do you think that he had been threatened and forced to perjure himself?
Just before he retired, years later, he came back and said that he had been harassed by the government and that my brother had been beaten.
And now, do you have that recorded or written down or an affidavit?
I do have that, yes, but by then it was too late. It was after the trial.
I see.
Now, so anyway, the judge found that, to my knowledge, it's the only instance where the United States government has been found guilty of intentional infliction of emotional distress, I mean intentionally injuring its citizens.
And so what then, what was the decision of the court? Did they take any action against the government? Did they come up with any financial penalty or what?
They awarded the money judgment of probably $1.2 million. The United States appealed recently, within the last month. The Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the holding, saying it was outrageous what the government had done to my family.
Now this is
sent it back for more findings.
All right. Does that mean then you'll have another trial or what?
It will probably be another trial or hearing at least.
All right, fine. Let's go to Barks, who's calling in from Carmel. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I wonder how many of you have read about this in your newspapers about the finding of $1.2 million finding against the government, and it was upheld by the Tenth Circuit Court, and of course blacked out by the controlled media here in the United States, because the last thing they want for the American people to realize is that this sort of thing doesn't happen over in Saudi Arabia or in Iraq with the wicked Saddam Hussein. It happens right here, and it's covered up by successive administrations, one Democrat and one Republican. Bart, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Mr. Trentadue, here's my question. I have often wondered if the people in Oklahoma City themselves have any way of acquiring information about the truth and learning about what really went on through possibly a local broadcaster or commentator, because they certainly deserve to know the truth about what went on. And I'll take my answer on the air, sir. Thank you for your courage and your commitment to the truth. Thank you.
Can I answer?
Go ahead.
I think that the question is very good, but to show you that there is no mechanism for them at this point in time. You would have thought that when this memo surfaced less than a month ago, that Tim McVeigh was calling Elohim City 2 weeks before the bombing, asking for people to help him. that the Oklahoma City media would have ran that story.
Did you get the material to them?
Yes, I did. I sent it to the Daily Oklahoman, and the newspaper that's the dominant paper in the state, one of the major papers in the Midwest, and not a single word on that story.
Well, I think it's so important for the people to understand what really happened in Oklahoma City. There were a number of pictures that were taken, videos that were taken immediately after the bombing that talk about the second bomb and the third bomb and the fourth bomb, and interviews with people who were in the building. They felt the building began to tremble, and then they got under the desk, and then, of course, the explosion went out outside, so there were obviously several explosions. Now, the people in the city, in Oklahoma City, saw that video. It was totally blacked out over the rest of the country, but we have that in a video we offer called Cover Up in Oklahoma City. But even more important than that, of course, is that there was a reporter, her name was Jana Davis, and she worked for Channel 4, and she was on top of this. And the people who owned the television station were right on top of it, and they were backing her up, and she was bringing the information out about Oklahoma City and about John Doe 2 and John Doe 3 and John Doe 4, and she was collecting information and doing the work that the FBI wasn't being allowed to do because they were being told by Washington, D.C., it was all Timothy McVeigh. There was nobody else who was involved. Timothy McVeigh and Larry Nichols. And do not talk about anything. You're not to be allowed to investigate anything. But, of course, Channel 4 was getting the information out. And then you know what happened? Times Warner came down from New York City and bought up Channel 4 and fired Jana Davis. And eventually she did write a book, which is really quite good on the subject. But, of course, people don't understand that when you have a television station or a newspaper that's telling the truth, why they get an offer they can't refuse, and they're bought up. And that's how they control the media. And if you don't believe the media in America is controlled, you need to get a book we carry called The New Medium Elite. It's written by Professor Ben Bigdak in the University of California. The New Medium Elite, he will tell you there are five mega corporations that have bought up almost all of the small newspapers and television stations. They dominate the American media. And we're just so fortunate to have a few stations that still are privately owned and, of course, getting the truth out to the American people. The book, The New Media Elite. Have you run into this situation, as you've analyzed what's going on?
Yes, sir. It's the reluctance to talk about this story because it's, in many ways, I think it's so ugly that no one wants to believe it happened. And I thought for sure once it became apparent that my brother's murder was linked to the bombing and the government that more attention would have been paid to it, but that has not been the case.
The book I was referring to was The New Media Monopoly, the book about the FBI, and it was written by a reporter from the Boston Globe or Boston Herald. It's called Deadly Alliance, How the Government Sent a Man to Prison for 30 Years, Knowing He Was Innocent, and it went right up to J. Edgar Hoover, and they allowed it to happen. And only recently was this man released from prison, and they were covering for a man named is Whitey Bulger, who killed and tortured to death 20 people in the Boston area, killed and tortured them to death with the full support of the local FBI. An amazing book, Deadly Alliance, available from Radio Liberty. And, of course, we have a wonderful four-tape set on the FBI. The information that ABC, CBS, and NBC won't tell you. Let's go to Fred calling from Salinas. Hi, Fred.
Yes, I just wanted to say, you were talking about the media control.
Right.
And I just wanted to tell you that there was a report that I seen, and it was a story done by the New York Times on the amount of stories that they have been feeding to the television studios, government stories that look like news stories, but they're not.
I don't know, but it's just government propaganda, right?
It's nothing but propaganda, and they're using fake names for reporters. And I've seen one story on Democracy Now, and I have seen a total blackout ever since. And that was about 4 days ago.
I read the same article you did. You're absolutely right, Fred.
And I just want to let people know that that's going on, and if they can keep a lookout for any of those stories, it's just totally blacked out.
We got a real problem in America. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day. God bless. Thanks, Fred.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, Jesse, what's the next step now? Waiting for the next report, next decision of the judge?
Yes, sir, and waiting for be two decisions. Actually, the remanded case back to Oklahoma for additional findings on the outrageousness of the government's conduct.
Well, of course, are they going to pay the $1.2 million? At least you get that satisfaction.
No, they won't. You can't make the government pay. And in fact, they came to me with a settlement offer, and the offer was this. I had to publicly apologize to the government of the United States, apologize, and forgive the judgment.
What? Why would they make that sort of an offer?
Well, it was implied that it would be a wise offer if I took it.
In other words, were they threatening you like they threatened the medical examiner?
I perceived it as a threat. And to show you how ugly this story is, it has cut across all aspects of our government, the judiciary, the executive, and the legislative. My senator is Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch has gone publicly calling us a murder, promising hearings, and has run with his tail between his legs, refused to do it.
Well, you wouldn't expect that Orrin Hatch would do anything, because he's not a moral individual.
And the two other big failures for us are my family in California senators, Boxner and Feinstein. They have worked with Hatch, basically, to keep this story quiet.
Well, of course, they want to stay in Washington, D.C., and you don't buck the government. The elite that really runs everything, the invisible government, if you do, why, you're going to get into trouble. You might be like Senator Imhoff. He was flying his private plane, and the propeller fell off. Or Congressman Hale Boggs, who went down somewhere up in Alaska. The FBI knew where he was, but they would never tell anybody and send any relief. And he and, of course, Congressman Bagets both starved to death from the exposure. Or as happened to Congressman Hansen, who was indicted and sent to prison for 10 years on bogus charges and eventually let off when they said, oh, shucks, we didn't even have the authority. Certainly the other congressman they've recently sent to prison on trumped-up charges. They will do this sort of thing here in America just like they do it over in Russia.
Well, the only person, elected official, who's tried to help us was my brother's Congressman Rohrabacher.
Oh, Dana's a pretty good man. Okay, so what was he able to get anything done at all?
No, sir. He said that he made an interesting comment that I spoke to him a long time, and he said that he was curious, most curious once those memos that I had surfaced here that showed McVeigh's link to the LIM City people. That he said that he'd been an old newspaper man, I guess, a reporter before he became went into politics, and he said, before the bombing in Oklahoma City, all you heard from the FBI was the militia, the militia, the militia. And he said that he thought that once the bombing took place, that they would have said, see, we told you, that's the biggest threat to the government of the United States is the militia. But instead, they didn't say a word about it. Which he was speculating if that wasn't because that they were involved.
Well, I think that, of course, they have the militia thoroughly infiltrated. They have the Communist Party thoroughly infiltrated. They have the Mafia thoroughly infiltrated. And they have the Islamic terrorist movement thoroughly infiltrated, which is why we haven't had any more bombings in the United States. But, of course, they can't tell the American people that. Well, Jesse, I certainly admire your persistence, your willingness to take a stand and to try to get this information out to the American people. And that's all we can if the American people don't value freedom, if the American people don't take a moral stand on the way your brother was treated, or the program of torture which is advocated by the administration. And when the president said, why, we would never authorize torture, but we're going to change our position, what does that tell you? It's sort of like when the president says, we're not going to attack Iran, but everything's on the table. Or, we want a strong dollar, but we're going to let it fall. What does that tell you? It tells you, of course, that they're not telling you the truth. They are giving you two things, and there's just no way to correlate the two.
Well, I think the biggest story, that some good would come from my brother's murder. We'll never see justice for that. We'll never see anybody punished for that. But if it exposes the role of the FBI in the murders of 169 people, including my brother, that would be some good to come from that.
You're talking about the Oklahoma City bombing and
yes.
The fact that they had advanced knowledge and they left the women and the children there to die.
They knew. I think it's fairly safe. You've read the memo, sir. Don't they clearly indicate that they knew in advance?
I think that there's no question that they knew. Not only that, but from many other sources of information, from my interviews with Clark Brewster, who defended Carol Howe, who had told the ATF they were going to bomb the Murrah building, but they could not let the American people know that. And they were going to send Carol Howe to prison, maybe for the rest of her life. An innocent woman whose crime was she was a patriot, and she risked her life to infiltrate a terrorist organization to protect you and I, and was betrayed. John, do you have a quick question? We're almost out of time.
Oh, well, maybe I better.
Go ahead. What's your question?
I just want to comment on the last guest. Is that, I don't know if that's possible.
No, that really is out. Thank you so much. But the last guest was an entirely different issue. So anyway, we're just about out of time. Jesse, what would your parting thoughts be for our listeners?
I think we have to, at this time more than any other time in our history, we have to hold our government accountable for what it does, and we shouldn't be so quick to give up our liberties because the government tells us that we're under attack or we're at war. A third world country, a foreign country, will never bring the American people down. We'll be brought down from within by the corruption in our government.
And, of course, the corruption of our people who have lost the desire for liberty and aren't willing to fight for it. The battle is not in Iraq or in Afghanistan. The battle is here in America for the hearts and souls of the American people. Do you have a website or some place people can go to get more information, Jesse?
If they would just type my name in, Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Trinidu, T-R-E-N-T-A-D-U-E, the whole ugly story will be out there on the Internet.
Jesse Trentedo, get the information and then help us get the truth out across America while we still have time. Jesse, bless you. Thanks for everything you're doing, and we'll look forward to it. Keep us appraised. Bye-bye.
I promise you, sir, you'll get the documents.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when we want to just play one more card for you, and we'll be having it running right now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. BHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through 8th grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121. 0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. We mentioned a couple of books. One of us, The New Media Monopoly. That's The New Media Monopoly. Professor Ben Bogdakin's book, which points out there are five mega corporations that dominate the American media. The book, The Deadly Alliance. It goes into the FBI sending innocent people to prison. It's written by a reporter from the Boston Herald, Boston Globe, one of the two. And it goes into the story of Whitey Bulger, who tortured 20 people to death and was fully protected by the FBI. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this sort of thing is going on, why wasn't anybody punished? Well, eventually they did. I've called in the FBI agent who was supervising this, and he said, look, I was just carrying out orders. Everybody in Washington, D.C. knew what I was doing. They did send him to prison, but nobody was ever punished for sending an innocent man to prison for 30 years. You need to get Deadly Alliance. You need to get The New Media Monopoly. You need to get our four-tape set on the FBI. And, of course, you really need, of course, to get book we have on the CIA. It's called Double Cross, and it's actually written by the brother of the head of the CIA, Chuck Giancano, about how the CIA was having the mafia do its assassinations for them. An incredible, incredible story. And then, if you have never heard our four tape sets on Oklahoma City, one is just simply Oklahoma City, and then the Oklahoma City update with my interviews with Ambrose Evans Pritchard, my interview with Clark Brewster, who defended Carol Howe, the woman that they were going to send to prison, to cover up the fact that the government knew ahead of time. Now, people get the sort of government that they deserve. And I believe that God brings judgment upon nations that turn away from him and allow corruption. Men and women become responsible for the evils they fail to oppose. And we hope that you will want to join us in trying to get the truth out across America. Because if we do not, we're going to lose America. One of the most important books you can get is my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get it by itself, or with a video, or with the audio tape, or you can get all three of them together as the Brotherhood of Darkness special for $29.95. The book, the video, and the audio tape. And then, of course, we want you to make copies of the video and the audio tape and help people understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Again, the books we're talking about, Deadly Alliance, the story of the FBI, sending an innocent man to jail, and, of course, covering for a murderer, Whitey Bulger, who tortured 20 people to death while under protection of the FBI. And this was over a period of 15 or 20 years. And everybody in the FBI knew it was going on, and they just threw, of course, one agent to the wolves, but the hierarchy knew and of course, protected Whitey Bulger, who incidentally is still on the lam. I mean, he's a pathological killer. And then, of course, the book, Deadly, Double Cross, going into the CIA. The book is written by the brother of the head of the mafia. You need to get that book, fascinating reading. You need to get our four tapes set on the FBI. You need to get our the videos cover up in Oklahoma City. You need to get the Oklahoma City special, which is two four tape sets and two videos. It'll give you the entire background of this incredible, incredible story of what really happened and how the government left those people in the building to die. Why? Well, I think they really wanted to see if they could get away with it, because they had something much larger in store later on. And if they could get away with that, why, of course, they could get away with just about anything, like maybe a terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Well, anyway, you need to get the information. We have it. We have the videos, the four tape sets. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products. We also carry radios, and we carry other products. Pull down our newsletters at RadioLiberty.com. Listen to our archives. You can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave. Get other people listening. That's your job. And then get them involved. For freedom is lost when good people do nothing, and all that's necessary for evil to take over this country is for the good people of America to continue what they've done in the past. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection till tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.